Right now, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources maintains a list of what it calls impaired waters in the state. While it doesn't account for every lake and river, the list is one of the best measurements we have of pollution in the state's waterways. In 2017, 240 areas of water were added to that list, due in large part to phosphorus runoff. But even when the DNR can point to a pollutant and its source, the ability to clean things up is limited by political and environmental challenges. Scott Gordon is the associate editor for wiscontext.org. He recently wrote an article on the impaired waters list. Scott, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us about this impaired waters list. How does the DNR put this together?
Under the Clean Water Act, all the states have to put together an impaired waters list. And essentially, people around the state, monitor the conditions in various bodies of water. For the purposes of this list, the state manages to do testing on about 25% of the surface waters in the state. And basically, ones that don't meet certain environmental standards are added to this list. And generally, the state submits that to the EPA and has to come up with, some kind of plan for addressing those waters.
And what kinds of impairments are we talking about? What kind of things are they testing for that would make a body of water count as impaired?
Well, there's a whole range of contaminants that are regulated under the Clean Water Act. The big one is phosphorus, but there's also all kinds of other things, problems with fish habitat, mercury, other forms of metals and kind of various things.
And phosphorus, as you said, it's way at the top of this list, right? This is the one, if there's going to be a problem, it's probably going to be phosphorus.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest single category of impaired waters are impaired for having too much phosphorus.
And what's the problem? Why is that bad if a body of water has phosphorus in it?
Well, phosphorus in and of itself isn't a bad thing. It's something that all living things use. It's a pretty basic element of life. And the problem is when you have too much of it in a body of water, it really feeds algae and other microorganisms that can really throw that ecosystem out of whack. As people see in bodies of water across the state, especially during the summer when you have these nasty green slicks of algae or cyanobacteria, that's because generally there's too much of a given nutrient in the water, and that's usually phosphorus.
Yeah, we talked recently to an expert on the cyanobacteria you just mentioned, and this ultimately, and it's bad ecologically speaking, it's also a health hazard for humans and pets.
Yes, some of these microorganisms can, expel toxins that can harm people or can harm animals. And they also suck a lot of the oxygen out of the body of water that they're in. And that, of course, is really bad for fish and other organisms living there.
And and where is this phosphorus coming from?
A lot of it is coming from farms in the form of fertilizer that is applied to the land and then runs off into bodies of surface water when it rains. Sewage is also a major source of phosphorus, but a big one is from farms, and especially manure fertilizer is really prone to running off.
And so DNR tests, say, a lake. There's too much phosphorus in it. They let the EPA know, and then what? Does anything happen after that?
Well, they have limited authority to do a whole lot about it. They can tell, a municipal sewage plant nearby, hey, you have to rein it in. They can try to work with farmers, but the state doesn't have a ton of direct authority to go in and tell, all the farmers in a given area around an impaired body of water, look, you have to, come up with a plan to manage how much phosphorus you're using. So, and that has to do with the way that environmental regulations are structured and distinguished between different kinds of pollution sources.
Talking to Scott Gordon from WisContext about a new piece he wrote on impaired waters in Wisconsin, how the DNR tests those, what they're looking for, what, if anything, is done when a body of water is impaired. We focused on phosphorus so far, Scott. How common, looking at some of the other pollutants they're measuring there, how commonly do they turn up in waters when the DNR goes out and tests them?
Well, again, phosphorus would be the big one, kind of the plurality of things. But, there's also a fair amount of problems with too much sediment being in the water, mercury, TCBs, E. coli, fecal contamination. There's quite a lot of different things that are tested. But, the top ones are phosphorus, sediment, mercury. there's a bunch of things on the list that are actually listed as unknown pollutants, where someone can clearly tell there's a problem in the ecosystem, but they're not exactly sure what's causing it or haven't necessarily detected the kind of regulatory cutoff of a certain kind of chemical. So there's a whole kind of plurality of things that get into these bodies of water.
And you mentioned that regulatory cutoff. Who sets that level? There can be X amount of phosphorus, there can be X amount of mercury, I guess. Who decides what is the peak level there?
Generally speaking, the EPA, and of course the state has some ability to, you know, create its own regulations, but a lot of what it's doing is, you know, enforcing the federal regulations.
So is the DNR able to keep up with all the testing it has to do or wants to do after some recent changes in DNR staffing in the last few years?
That's been a really open question, as, you know, the DNR has seen all these budget cuts and staff cuts and all these kind of, political attempts to curb its regulatory authority. What the DNR told me was that for this list, it was able to test about 25% of the surface waters in the state. And I mean, when you consider the tremendous amount of lakes and rivers and streams, and, you know, it's a lot to cover. And so covering every single thing would kind of be impossible. And any kind of scientific study is, you know, you're dealing with a sample size that's not necessarily the entirety of something. You know, one thing the DNR has said about this list and its growth is that the list is growing not necessarily because pollution is getting worse, but because they're gradually managing to test more bodies of water, and they have had some standards that have changed over the years since they began creating this list. You know, this list, they've been updating it since about the late 80s, I want to say. And of course, over that time, you know, environmental standards have changed. Phosphorus standards especially have gotten a little stricter. So it's hard to necessarily look at it and say, oh, these problems are getting worse because the list is growing.
Now, the impaired waters list might be the best measure we have on pollution in Wisconsin waters, but it's, as you say, it's not complete, not perfect, I would guess. What do you think we should take away from this list and the growth of polluted waters that we saw in the last couple of years?
Well, I think one of the biggest lessons, if you look at this list, is that there's a lot of bodies of water that have been on there for a long time. And it's a reminder that despite people's best efforts, it can take a long time for these things to get sorted out. You know, if there's too much mercury in an ecosystem or too much phosphorus, and someone does something about it, it can still take, you know, decades for that chemical to kind of cycle out of the ecosystem or get down to acceptable levels. And, you know, to the DNR's point about this doesn't necessarily reflect pollution getting worse, you know, that may or may not be true, but I think it's telling when you look at this list and a problem like phosphorus is spread out across, you know, nearly every single county in the state. I think it really kind of gives you a sense of what we have to deal with on a statewide level.
We'll leave it there for now. Scott, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks very much, Rob.
Scott Gordon is the associate editor of wiscontext.org. He joined us to talk about what goes into creating the DNR's list of impaired waterways in Wisconsin. You can follow that and other reporting on the state over at wiscontext.org.